It's high noon, 12 midday, time for the news with Lewis Foster. Fast am I, Lewis?
Fast am I. Armed police are responding to an ongoing incident in Douglas. Officers are by the traffic lights on Victoria Street and have closed off the area around Duke Street. The constabulary has told Manx Radio there'll be no further comment at this time. An update on plans to reopen the island's schools is expected later today. Education Minister Dr. Alex Allinson is due to appear at this afternoon's government media briefing. Schools have been closed to most pupils since the 3rd of March, with provision for children of key workers ending 2 days later. Chief Minister Howard Quay.
Six minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're in session till 1. Last Man in Line before Easter. And before I get to the COVID numbers, just to reiterate, the Isle of Man Constabulary are in the area of Strand Street in Douglas following an ongoing incident. Now, there's no immediate concerns for the safety and well-being of individuals or nearby residents, but the constabulary advises you to avoid the area for the time being while the matter is being investigated. And the numbers now, the COVID numbers, 46,469 tests have taken place since last year, since the start of all this. We have 134 people today booked in for tests. There were two new cases of COVID-19 announced yesterday afternoon, meaning currently a total number of 293 active cases. So it's coming down every day, thankfully. Six people currently in hospital, and there are 1,215 people currently in self-isolation. And just to reiterate, six people in hospital, none is in ICU. 51,851 vaccinations have taken place. We smashed through the 50,000 barrier yesterday. That's 36,539 first dose administered, 15,312 second dose administered, and they're currently holding 8,118 shots of vaccine in stock. So thoughts today as we head towards Easter, and it's over a year since all this has happened. If there's anything bubbling up in your mind that you'd like to get to the people of the Isle of Man and beyond, by all means, get in touch. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com or 166177 on the SMS text. Just to reiterate also about this phone scam that's doing the round, there are messages being sent. If you see one that says Amazon, your iPhone 7 has been dispatched, £379 has been deducted from your account. If this is incorrect, press 1. Well, if you press 1, you will lose money. So don't respond if you get a message about an iPhone 7 that's been dispatched. Don't press 1. Don't do anything apart from just delete the thing straight away. A message in from Chris and just said, well, of course, just to reiterate, the briefing is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. 4 o'clock live on Manx Radio, AM, FM, on the Facebook channel, on YouTube as well. There will be a blog that will be appearing on the website as well for the hard of hearing, or if you can't get to hear it. And some questions coming through, which we'll pass through to the journalist responsible. When Manx patients, this is Tris who asks, when Manx patients with COVID get transferred to hospitals in the UK, do they get deleted from our stats? And do they become a UK stat, or do they stay as a statistic on the Isle of Man? We may be interested. I'm not aware of many people who've been transferred from the Isle of Man to the UK, but it's a question worth asking as well. And we'll keep you updated on that Lord Street problem in Douglas at the moment. Obviously, the constabulary are there. A question in just regarding COVID, long COVID. Lots of people are asking about long COVID. Has there been any consideration of provision for long COVID sufferers and for key workers? And could the Minister of Health outline these or any support offered? Subsequently, if currently nothing is in place to support long COVID sufferers, Is there anything in place for perhaps frontline workers who've contracted COVID whilst placed to work within a COVID area? Long COVID, something that, again, because we've never come across this before, we don't quite know how to handle long COVID and what the implications are. If you're taking the dog out for a walk this weekend, Manx National Heritage would like you to, well, it's Fort Island. Manx National Heritage has heard about continuing abuse around Fort Island. The island is the site of several very important ancient monuments, including an early medieval church and a graveyard. And it's also home to several significant species of wildlife, including breeding seals and seabirds. In short, Fort Island is very important. But they're finding dog muck there. They've appealed before to dog owners in the community to keep dogs under control and pick up after them. But they're getting reports from people just wandering around Fort Island. It's a lovely place to walk. There's considerable amounts of dog muck. An additional concern is that a number of owners are deliberately letting dogs run loose at a time when the island's in lockdown. Special spaces like Fort Island are being used by the local community for exercise. Not only are children at risk, but it results spoiling one of the island's most precious historic locations, which is routinely being used as a dog toilet. 99% of dog owners will roll their eyes at this and say, we've seen them do it. And quite how you would stop owners who are delinquent owners who are letting dogs A, run free, but also not pick up after them. I don't quite know what you do. It's just a mention. If you're heading to Fort Island this weekend, keep your wits about you and keep your eyes open. And if you are taking your dog, I know you'll be doing the right thing. Messages in on the man in line so far. Could you ask Dr. Allenson how many schools have been deep cleaned in the lockdown in preparation for the children going back to schools? To the best of my knowledge, most caretakers and cleaning staff haven't been at work. This is Alan. We're not aware of that, Alan. If that's true, Dr. Allenson will be at the meeting today. We've heard there is going to be an announcement regarding schools, quite when the schools will go back, perhaps after the Easter break. But listen this afternoon, we'll know what the schools are. Some more messages into the man in line today, including Graham just said, if we're not allowing tourists in, why are there so many vehicles from other countries? In Onchan yesterday, we saw a French motorcyclist who was clearly lost. You didn't take a photo, did you? We hear there's a big lag in getting vehicles registered to Manx plates, but I don't know whether that's got anything to do with it. Remember, Strand Street, close to an ongoing incident. If you're heading into Douglas, police vehicles are parked across. Officers are stopping pedestrians. So Strand Street in Douglas is, and thank you to everybody who's sending us photos of it as well. With the launch of Manx Care today, who are the following island medical groups answerable to? Who are the care homes answerable to, says Chris? GP practices? And the mental health services. Well, big day. Plans by the government to turn the Manx NHS into one of the best island health services in the world have taken a significant step forward today. The name Manx Care you'll become very, very familiar with from now on. Manx Care is the entity that's in charge of running day-to-day operations with the Department of Health and Social Care, dealing with policy and strategy. You following this? So the department is heading policy and strategy. Manx Care is running everything. Now, it's hoped this patient-centred approach will lead to reduced waiting times, savings, and better quality care. So those are the three prongs that they want to get this sorted out with. Reduce waiting times, saving money, better quality care. Now, the chair of Manx Care is Andrew Foster, and he says the best way to do this is for it to be integrated.
Well, the absolute beauty of the vision for Manx Care is that it's a completely integrated system. In other words, it's not just a hospital, it's not just mental health, it's not just primary care, it's not just community, it's all of those things together. Now, that enables us to plan around the patient in a way where there are no longer artificial silos. If you like, it's the gold standard that most of the world is trying to work towards, a fully integrated care system. So where I would like to be in 5 years' time is really the best fully integrated island healthcare service in the world. And I see no reason why at all why we can't achieve that.
Silos you mentioned there, how difficult is it to break those down, and what sort of strategies are you going to be using to do that?
So if you take as an example of this, patient pathways is probably the best way of doing it. So we would tend to have a pathway in hospital for a patient of a certain type, and there'll be another pathway in primary care. What I mean by a pathway is just the series of processes and interventions that happen. Now, if you bring primary care clinicians together with hospital clinicians and plan a fully integrated pathway, then first of all, you're cutting out seams as far as the patient is concerned. And secondly, you're probably going to be able to design those services better around the patient and keep them out of hospital unless absolutely necessary.
There he is, the chair of the brand newly constituted Manx Care. We'll be monitoring what happens with that over the coming months or so. But Manx Care looking after day-to-day, the department running policy and strategy. David's with us on The Man in Line. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. All right. I just wanted to correct the fellow that was on yesterday after me, probably accusing either me or Ongan AFC, which I'm president of the club, but saying that we'd use the civic community site. I can say categorically that one of our sponsors is Tells Limited in Snugborough. And if I want anything picked up like wood, timber or metal that we use on our site or facilities there, he's done it. When we had our container vandalised, he was first on the phone, dropped us a little skip up, and we actually cleared the whole container of all the china and stuff that was smashed and destroyed. But I want to explain to the fellow who was on, to say to him, you know, what I mean by charities or non-for-profit making organisations, like I think you tried to say to him was, is sports facilities are the same. That's either hockey, rugby, all sorts of sports are the same. They have volunteers that do the work, fundraising to do stuff. And what I was trying to say was there is, why do we want to put hurdles in front of those sort of organisations or charities like the banks are doing now? It's absolutely terrible. And I've been in touch now with the HSBC, who have been quite helpful. You know, I'm amazed, really, that the Island Man Bank's trying to do that. But just getting on to the other thing is that now people have got their rates bills out. I had mine this morning there from Onken. So everybody will be else getting it. If anybody's in difficulty, approach the local authorities or government. Do it in stage payments. You can do that. They won't put you in prison.
Okay. And while we're at it, let's give a mention then for Terry Murter and everybody at Telskips as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. if I want something done, I'll call them old man Terry. If he's listening or somebody else is listening, they'll laugh because it's young Terry and old man. But the old man wears the hat and he's got the trousers.
All right. Thanks, David.
See you, boy. Bye.
All right. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just listening to your Manx Care and the chap that's coming on. I don't know. Was he brought into the island to run this system? But what concerns me is, it's a seed that's been sown. And he had the saying there, the silo thinking. Well, if you get rid of all the little silos, you're going to end up with one big one. And like the MEA, the water and the sewage and everything, all in one pot. The DOI is a classic example of this, where nothing gets done, but everybody gets paid such fantastic wages. And is this another system whereby Manx Care, being segregated away from the DHSC, is going to become another big silo as opposed to a lot of little ones? And you're going to have one man at the top in a dictatorial role who will be telling everybody what's going to go on, and he will have a passion in cutting monies, cutting fees, etc., which will in turn cut the benefits to the public, which he is trying supposedly to protect. That's what I'm fearful of. It's going to be another conglomerate within government that's going to be answerable to no one.
Yeah, the whole point of splitting Manx Care off is that they're supposed to be prioritising the patient, if you like, the customer, the client, whatever you want to call it. And nobody begrudges money being spent on health. But, of course, it is a pit that you can throw money down forever because there will always be somebody coming up with a bright idea of a brand new machine that's going to be bought and this, that and the other. And, of course, everybody wants that money to go where it does the most good.
But the trouble is, with this system that they're proposing, and his words were, my thing, 5 years' time. Well, obviously, he's talking about long-term planning, so he intends to be there for quite a while. And the inevitable triangle will build with a wide base, with a lot of people that are sackable, and the one at the top and a few at the top, which will never be removed, and they're the ones that's making the decisions that will filter down through to what Andrew Mitchell said, the plebs, and they will be emptied out and made scapegoats. And this is exactly what has happened to the DOI. They've got too big. They haven't any idea where their feet are now. Their heads are so high in the clouds. They have no idea where their feet are. And unfortunately, this is a prime example of a seed being sown again now. And it's going to have, in this man's words, at least a five-year germination period.
But all people want on the Isle of Man, Howard, is the appropriate care at the right time. It seems fairly simple, doesn't it?
It does. But the practice that I'm in, and I'm 77 now, and I can quite honestly say when it was the original man, Tommy Groves, it was Palatine, and it moved all the way down to its present system. Tommy Groves was one that was treating my mother when I was coming into this world 77 years ago. But try getting an appointment there now. I've got a better chance to talk to Father Christmas and live. So the system has fallen apart, but the people at the top haven't a clue what's going on. And I was quite surprised one day when I went up to see that I'm a diabetes nurse, and my appointment had been cancelled. Never told me. I was sitting there waiting, but they never told the nurse either. And when I spoke to the manageress at the clinic, she said, oh, I'll look into it. And it turned out it was her that was cancelled the appointments and never told anybody. So who's looking after what? The people on the outside of the system are not getting the service that they expect. But the people at the top are presenting what they think is the best service, and it's only an idea. It worries me now the way this government is going.
Do you think Mr. Ashford, he pushed for this, he wanted this to happen. Do you trust Mr. Ashford to do the right thing?
I would sincerely hope so, because I like the man, and I think he has one hell of a task in this past year. There's a lot before him would have fell by the wayside. But he has kept his cool, and he seems to be doing a reasonable job under extremely difficult circumstances. Not only has he got the COVID, but he's had the ongoing problems at the hospital with senior management, who make themselves into a little clique, and that's it. They say no man is indispensable, but if he is, he's up to no good. And that's what was happening within the system. So let's hope this Manx Care doesn't turn out to be another very expensive exercise.
OK. All right, Howard. Have a good Easter.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care. All right. Now, here's Sandra on the man in line. Hello, Sandra.
Oh, hello, Andy. I haven't heard much of the last speaker because I've had my radio off, so I probably agree with most of the things that he said, so I don't want to repeat. But I do feel that this new Manx Care is probably going to end up that we've maybe got the best administered procedures and so on in the world, health service. But until we have more doctors, more nurses, we can't possibly have an adequate healthcare. That's what's lacking. You can't get to see doctors and nurses at any level, whether it be GPs or specialists. We use so many locums that they only come on island so often. So that's my worry, that we'll spend money on more administrative staff and setting up new protocols and procedures, but what you have to have are more doctors and more nurses, and it's as simple as that.
But Sandra,
if you can't get to see anyone, you can't get diagnosed whether you've got cancer or whether you're about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, but Sandra, that medical skills, medical professional practitioner skills are very transferable skills. We live in a global environment now, and people can train and go anywhere in the world. So how do we keep nurses? How do we keep doctors? How do we keep specialists? I'm sure we can attract them because we give them very generous incentives to come to the Isle of Man, but how do we keep them?
Well, possibly if they're not working under such strained circumstances that they're inadequately staffed, because don't forget, they must feel the pressures of not having sufficient colleagues. That must play on whether they stay or not. But I agree with you. I think what needs to happen within the National Health Service is if we pay to train doctors and nurses, they should have to stay working at least in those environments that have helped to pay for that very expensive training, which, as you say, is transferable anywhere in the world, and everybody wants them, and they can often offer better climates and so on, probably not better tax incentives than we do here. That those people should have to give back something in their skills to those countries that have paid those hugely expensive fees. Because if you want to train to be a doctor in America, for example, you end up coming out with hundreds of thousands sometimes of debts, dollars of debts, and have to set up your own cabinet, you know, your own surgery and all your own equipment and so on.
And insurance as well.
They have everything else provided for them. But anyway, just before I go, because I want to let someone else on, I love Manx Radio. I think it's fantastic. But I wish that they wouldn't put the noise behind people's voices. I want to hear the person speaking, not that person having to almost shout over music or background noise. I love your introductory music just that comes on before you start your program. But I do wish they wouldn't drown you out by continuing with noise behind your voice.
We'll sack the musicians, Sandra.
Exactly. We don't need them. Okay. There's nothing more beautiful than a good English voice.
Thanks for calling today.
Okay,
have a nice
bye-bye.
Easter. Take
you
care.
Bye-bye.
Now, regarding the hospital, I just want to bring this up, and it's Bill Shimmins, MHK, Member for Middle. Bill Shimmins wants an overhaul of the complaints process. Now, Bill Shimmins is going to raise the issue in a Timwell motion later this month, and it's about how you complain about things that have gone wrong, you perceive, in the health service. Bill Shimmins thinks the current system is falling far short of what's required.
Many members and many members of the general public are concerned about the lack of progress on complaint handling and complaints process in the Department of Health. And we did hope that Manx Care would bring a kind of fresh approach and fresh procedures to that. So it was really unfortunate that doesn't seem to have happened. And I'm bringing a motion to Timwell next month in April that the DHSC complaints process is long overdue for overhaul, and it's been, you know, it needs to be revised as a priority, and public consultation needs to happen, and new regulations for an amended, updated complaints process should be presented back to Timwell for approval by November 21. It really is important that the culture changes in our health service, whereby complaints are viewed as an opportunity for improvement. And we need to see an absolute commitment to improvement, because at the moment, the complaints process is just not fit for purpose.
So what's happening to complaints currently? How are they being dealt with in a way that isn't satisfactory?
If you look at the various reports that have been done over a long period of time now, committees of Timwell have investigated. If you look at Sir Jonathan Michael's report, he highlights some fairly fundamental basic problems with the complaint handling process. Some of those are cultural, some of those are procedural. And, you know, the independent review body would also, if you look at their reports, you would see that really the process, and actually I don't think that's unknown. I think the Department of Health are aware of that, and they know that they need to improve. So that's why I'm hoping there'll be wide support for my motion, because we must improve the complaint handling process in the Department of Health. And it's essential we do that if we're to restore trust in that process.
Anything you'd like to comment on what Mr. Shimmins has to say? that the health service complaints process has to improve, and the Manx care situation may provide an opportunity for doing that. I may be a bit slow, says this correspondent, but would the schools need a deep clean if nobody's been there for 4 or 5 weeks as well? A message in from Sharon, who says, Andy, the caretaker at Jerby School is still going into school to do a deep clean as well. I hope everyone has a good Easter, but I implore everyone to stay safe, not break the COVID regulations. Can people please read the signs? Private means private, and stop wandering with dogs. It's lambing season. Also, bitches are on heat as well, so keep them away as they cause sheepdogs to stray. So if you are out with a dog this weekend, please take care. And also, the people who go to Fort Island with 3, 4, and 5 dogs and just let them run, how can you keep an eye on what all the dogs are doing? Some larger dogs are quite intimidating as well. Now, families like to go to Fort Island with their children, who could quite easily get knocked down by the dogs just running wild. I no longer go there, said Alistair. So please, if you are heading Fort Island, if you are eating, I do apologise, but there's dog mess on Fort Island, and some dog owners are just using the fact that Fort Island is sometimes a bit lonely, not many people there sometimes, to not do it. There's nothing I can do, nothing I can say will ever convince them. They'll just look the other way and whistle. But just keep your eyes open. It's disgusting at Fort Island now, absolutely full of piles of dog muck, and they're mainly from bigger dogs. There are quite a few dog walkers who take dogs there as well. Andy, the Isle of Wight's investing in their railway, reinstating closed lines, including upgrading the pier to make sure that the island meets future near. Just £40 million on a mile of tarmac could have been invested in our railway, says John. Lots of people talking about the money from the promenade and perhaps whether that could be invested in railways. Well, we're a long way off investing in railways. Can't think of any politician who has a current manifesto that will be to invest or even upgrade in the railways. We do run vintage trams. We have heritage trams that run. Now, they did have heritage trams that ran in Blackpool, but they got rid of them. Well, they got rid of most of them, and they run modern trams in Blackpool, and they bring out the heritage ones as and when. Here's Frank with us on The Man in Line. Hello, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing, Andy? Okay.
Good. What's on your mind, Frank?
Right, it was something that happened to me just over 12 months ago. I was in the hospital with pneumonia and sepsis, and the doctor, Ellie, saved my life. And as I was waiting to go home, you can appreciate an 84-year-old man that's had pneumonia, not very strong after that. So I'm sat there waiting for a taxi to take me home. And suddenly the people that do the physiotherapy came to see me. And they said, can you walk? Well, I know what the system is at the hospital. If you can't walk, you can't go home. That's the law in the hospital. So I said, well, yes, I can. But I said, I'm not very good. But I was okay. I didn't have any pain in my knees or nothing. I was fine. So they said, get in the wheelchair. And I got in the wheelchair, and they wheeled me to the stairs going between the floors. Now, I had no shoes on, and they made me walk down 26 steel steps with no help, nobody in front of me, nobody at the back of me, just in case I fell, which is what they're supposed to do. And I got down, and I did it because I know I was not right doing it, but I made it. And coming back up, something went, and I didn't know what it was. I just stood for a few seconds. I thought, oh, God, what's gone wrong? And I couldn't feel anything wrong. So, oh, it's nothing. So I went back to my ward, and I told the doctor, Dr. Ellie, what had happened to me. And she listened very carefully. I didn't do anything else. I went home, and because it was late, I told her I want to go to bed. I said, I'm tired. So I went to bed. Next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. And I've never been able to walk properly since. I made a complaint to the hospital, and they just poo-pooed it. Oh, it's normal practice. You know, you've got a bad back. It's your fault. That was it. So I agree with Mr. Shimon. Was it you said he wants to overhaul the complaints department?
Where did your complaint lead? I mean, how many pieces of correspondence were exchanged, Frank?
Well, I went to see them with a friend, and I saw I saw somebody from the complaints department, and they said they will investigate it. I then got a letter from the lady that is in charge, and that's when it was all poo-pooed and said, oh, you know, it's what we normally do, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't understand it at all, why you can't complain about something that they did. Now, I know maybe I'm going on, but that's twice now in my life they've tried to ruin it. And the first one was 38 years ago, when the surgeon that operated me in Nobles was drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was the head surgeon for many, many years. And he hurt a lot of people.
And did you complain at the time then?
It was a waste of time. Nobody would listen to you. And so, you know, it's quite a few years ago. And they couldn't be bothered.
And what would you say to Bill Shimmins, the MHK now? What would your advice be to him?
I'd say they definitely need something. The whole hospital needs something doing. The management in the hospital is the worst in Europe, I think. There's terrible complaints from people all over the island that have had trouble.
Okay.
The nurses and the doctors are phenomenal. They're great. But the management, no.
Okay. Frank, thanks for putting us in with that. Thanks for cluing us in. And have a good weekend. And if you want to get in touch with this MHK, by the way, this is Bill Shimmins, the MHK for Middle. He's the one who wants a better complaints procedure for the health service in general. Bill Shimmins' email address is bill.shimmins, with an S, at gov.im. That's bill.shimmins@gov.im. And he's got a question going before Tynwald later on this month. Right, 22 minutes before one on the Man in Line. It is a Thursday, which means today is Isle of Man Farmers Markets Day. It's socially distanced. Isle of Man's Farmers Markets is on at St John's Church Hall. Now, they're normally every first Friday of every month at Oncombe Village Walk. It's Good Friday tomorrow, but I'm guessing that the Isle of Man Farmers Market will be in session at Village Walk in Oncombe tomorrow. And every Saturday, so this Saturday, Isle of Man Farmers Markets will be at the courthouse in Ramsey. So St John's Church Hall till 3 today, tomorrow 11 till 4 at Oncombe Village Walk, and on Saturday 10 till 4 at the courthouse in Ramsey for Isle of Man Farmers Markets for all your Manx produce. And socially distanced and sanitised.
The winning continues this Easter weekend with Manx Radio's Easter Egg Hunt. Every day from Good Friday through to Easter Monday, we'll post a photo of some Easter eggs at a mystery location on the Manx Radio Facebook page. All you have to do is tell us whereabouts on the island we've hidden them. When the window of opportunity opens throughout the day, text your answer and you could go into the draw for some very tasty treats. Our stack of prizes includes a Domino's Pizza family meal, a Manx Ices family pack, and we'll throw in some Manx Radio goodie bags as well. We'll do the draw on Tuesday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a big Easter winner here on the Nation Station.
At Domino's Pizza right now, check out our great offers for delivery or collection. Take it easy and enjoy our family favorite deal of two medium pizzas and two sumptuous sides for just $21.99. Or enjoy our Home Alone deal of a small pizza, wedges or garlic bread, and Coke for just $12.99. Check out dominoes.co.uk for more exclusive offers and deals. Domino's, we got this.
Good foster carers come in all shapes and sizes and from all walks of life. It's who you are, not what you are, that makes the difference. You could be the one to help a child or young person become part of your family. Show them understanding and help them overcome their experiences.
The Mockingbird programme is a model of care that strives to recreate normal family life for children and young people in foster care. To find out more, including how we support and reward you, call 610000.
Doing what we can and, of course, working within government guidelines, Millichaps are here for you. If we have items needed by people locked down at home, such as motorised chairs or beds for essential workers, we may be able to help. And you'll find our shop window is fully stocked. You can secure items over the phone and we'll arrange delivery as soon as feasible, including stressless chairs, half-price rugs, temper and latex pillows. Just call 813636.
Millichaps of Ramsey.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands, or you can switch and save with our huge range of Buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
It's Easter time and Caroline North is back with a three-day event. We have prizes to give away of Caroline merchandise and the whole weekend is sponsored by Marsh Industries. Join us this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday for Caroline North.
1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 18 minutes before one and congratulations and well done, by the way, to everybody involved in the vaccination process. 51,000 COVID-19 vaccines have been administered on the Isle of Man, including 36,000 first doses as well. And I have to say, I'll just put my interest here. I got vaccinated yesterday. I got a Pfizer jab yesterday in the old ShopRite. I think I was vaccinated just where the Iceland pizzas used to be. And very good it was too. And of course, producer Barry Redfern, twice vaccinated, completely immunised, is our Barry. Is this the first step on the road to privatisation of the health service? Will we in future have to pay a Manx care insurance before we get treatment, I wondered? Concerned pensioner, Rona. This is the Manx care that's now been instituted. I lodged a complaint at the end of January. No response after 2 months, says Keith. I think you're looking for comments about the complaint process within Nobles, says Lindsay. I put a complaint to Nobles in 2018 before my mum passed away. We had three or four resolution meetings to which the complaint was never resolved properly, and the fact they tried to put the blame on me. We had an independent inquiry which found numerous faults, which I would never have found out if it were left to the complaints team. That complaint's still going on since 2018. It's a lot of stress, distress as well, but I couldn't have got through without any support. The complaints process actually makes it difficult. It's not straightforward, and it's not easy at a time when I was grieving. To this date, still difficult and has an effect on my life. I do hope this the complaints process improves. Here's Mary on the Man in Line. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Andy. How are you this lovely day?
I'm fine. What about yourself?
I'm fine. It's just about the new care, Manx care.
Yes.
I think the whole idea of it is to integrate all of the services of care on the island so that anybody within that who has a patient or wants any information can go to the one place and get all the information they need. So the computers will hold everything about a patient. At the moment, it seems, and I have personal proof of this, that the computers in the hospital don't speak to the computers in the GP surgeries. So sometimes the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing and the patient's in the middle.
So if you go from you get referred from the GP to the hospital,
yes.
What happens then? The hospital has to get the how do the GP send your records to the hospital?
Well, the thing is, this will just be an example for you. I needed what they call a DEXA scan a while ago, and at the hospital, and this and. The results were sent through to the surgery. I then had a phone call from the doctor. They couldn't understand why I wasn't on any medication for this particular condition, which had necessitated the scan. And I said, but I am. And they said, oh, not according to our records. No, you're not on any medication. because I was on the medication from Nobles. So that, you know, the two of them hadn't connected. So, and I mentioned this to somebody who I know is in sort of medical and IT. And basically that was the explanation. The computers just don't speak to each other. So unless somebody manually intervenes and asks for information, it doesn't sort of come through. So this way, with the Manx Care, the idea is that everything will be in one place, and that the hospital and the doctors and any other care people involved can...
So do you think this is a step in the right direction?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because it means that otherwise, at the moment, there's people are doing similar things, but in smaller departments with regard to a patient, whereas if all the information on that patient is in one place, then anybody that's dealing with them can access it if they have the right qualifications to do so.
Good.
And that suggests, you know, to me that it would save time and money and also possibly be a lot quicker results for the patient.
Well, when Mr. Ashford's been with us on the Manor Line in the past, he's always been very enthusiastic about Manx Care.
Yes, yes. I think he's every right to, as long as it's been researched properly and those that are sort of running it know what they're doing, which I'm sure they will do. It should work. It should work. It certainly should work a lot better than things do at the moment.
Okay.
Because there's all little bits at the moment, and hopefully all the little bits will come together and be in one place.
Thanks for calling, Mary.
You're welcome.
All right, good to talk to you. Have a nice Easter. And Julian with us on the Man in Line. Hello, Julian.
Oh, hello, Andy. Yeah, I was listening to your programme about ivermectin, if there was any information, so I've done a little bit of research. It's available on prescription, actually. It's known as Stramectol, and it's usually used for treating scabies or river blindness from people in Africa. Apparently, it's very effective.
Yeah, it's very good against parasites, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it was first rolled out in 1981, and I think it's done about 4 billion doses around the world. It's on the World Health Organization list of essential medicines, and the two scientists who developed it actually got the Nobel Prize in 2015.
Why is it being mentioned around COVID?
Well, I think the reason is what it does is it effectively bubble wraps the spike protein, which everybody's been talking about. And I think the thing that they're excited about is it goes for any variant. So it doesn't actually matter which one it is. It seems to just bubble wrap the spike protein, and it immediately stops them from proliferating around the body. From what I've gleaned, after 48 hours, they're finding a 5,000-time lowering in viral particles in the body. Mm. And it seems to be rolled out in 17 countries, including 210 million people in Uttar Pradesh in India, 33 million in Peru. It's in Czech Republic, Japan, and I think South Africa has just started legalizing it now to be rolled out. And I think the lead person in the UK is a Dr. Tess Laurie, I think, L-A-W-R-I-E, and she's a PhD in Bath, so she seems to know quite a bit about it from what I've seen.
Well, it's interesting, and as you say, as a treatment for parasitic problems, I think it's also for things like, was it used for Lyme disease as well at one time?
Possibly, yeah. I think it's quite small dosage. I understand the protocol they're using is the same as it is if you have scabies or river blindness. So it's basically, I think, 0.2 milligrams for each kilo of body weight. So if you're 50 kilos, you take a 10 milligram. So they're quite small, I think.
Right. So it's not an antibiotic, is it?
No, it's not. It's an anti-parasitic antiviral. So they've been finding, I think, over time that they've been using it for more and more things. It's a bit like aspirin, really. They found it's useful for various new things as time's rolled on. You know, it's almost, some of them are sort of almost stumbled upon. The most useful information I found on it, she's got a website, I think, and it's called, it's the Frontline COVID Critical Care, but it's FLCCC. LCCC.net. So it's F for Freddie, LCCC.net. Okay. That seems to be quite a lot of information.
Crikey, Julie, you know a lot. Are you medically qualified? Are you?
No, but I've just been doing a bit of research. But the figures they've got across 53 studies, if you do it prophylactically, so preventative, they're finding an 89% good outcome. If you take it early, you know, once you've got it, they're finding an 84% improvement. And overall, for everyone, it's about a 76% improvement. However, it's for everyone on the island to have a little bit of research and see what they make of it, really.
Okay.
But it might be something handy.
Thanks for calling us today, Julian. Have a good Easter.
Thank you very much. The same to you.
All right. Good to talk to you. I want to go to Andrew now on the man in line. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Manx Care and also tying in with the DOI. So Manx Care is the body tasked with delivering health and care services across the island, and it's to operate at arm's length from the department, which will remain responsible for setting policy and strategy. I read from the government's web posting. And also, independent review of the Department of Infrastructure. Council of Ministers has commissioned an independent review of the capacity and capability of the Department of Infrastructure, which I'm pretty sure you guys have covered on the news. So, I think we can see where this is going, can't we?
What's your conclusion?
Well, there will be a Manx infrastructure set up so that the department will then sit back and just deal with what's going to happen now. It'll remain responsible for setting policy and strategy, and Manx infrastructure will be the body tasked with delivering infrastructure projects across
the
island.
So you think this is a trend amongst departments?
I think it's going to be set like that, yes. Because let's be honest, Mr. Baker's not up to the job of controlling what's going on.
Well, DOI is a massive department, isn't it?
So they just need to... it's just shown that he's just totally out of his depth. The officers in the department are running a rings around him, and he keeps popping up in Keys and Tynwald, just mouthing what he's been told. And he's not directing things. It's the officers that are directing things. So they need to separate it all out like they've done, so that David Ashford is now going to set the policy and Manx Care can implement it. They need something so that whoever the next person is who's the minister in the next administration, they set the policy and task Manx infrastructure. That's what it is. Get on, do it.
So where do you think this new Auditor General will sit in this then? If this new Auditor General's looking at whether government projects are value for money, and Manx Care's obviously looking at getting best value for money, who do you think will have priority? Who do you think will have the biggest hammer in this fight?
Well, that's the Public Accounts Authority, Public Accounts Committee.
Because, as I say, if Manx Care are looking at making the decisions to get the best value for money, I just wonder what sort of teeth they'll have, whether they'll have the capacity to make decisions on that basis. What do you think?
I've not considered that.
In the end, this is all about, this is public money, Andrew.
Well, this is.
And obviously, they're tasked with getting the best value for money for all of us.
Sure, but that's a separate subject with respect between Auditor General and Public Accounts Committee. They can fight it out. I'm talking about the Department of Infrastructure and if that's going to become now Manx infrastructure. Because clearly, Mr. Baker, he keeps saying he's committed, for example, to delivering the horse trams, but he hasn't even declared whether he's going to be standing in the next election. So I think that's telling in itself.
Yeah, but he's damned if he doesn't, isn't it? But if he declares now, people accuse him of electioneering.
Well, other sitting candidates are declaring?
Two.
But he's actually said, I'm committed to delivering the horse trams.
Yeah, fair point. Okay. All right, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Good man. Thanks, now.
Thanks for being with us. A note in from Nick, who just said, following your call, a caller yesterday, I've been suffering from post-viral fatigue for 2.5 years. Despite my GP's best endeavours, I can't get treatment on the Isle of Man. I've been waiting for an answer from the DHSC since I contacted my MHK last December. Mr. Ashford replied within 10 minutes of receiving my email, and I thank him for that, but as yet I've got no answer from the DHSC. PVF, post-viral fatigue, is a debilitating condition, but I don't think it's being taken seriously on the Isle of Man, and I think something needs to be done. Long COVID is just part of this as well. A mention in now, how many millions will our gold standard integrated system cost? Vaccine letters required manual work by GPs before the Cabinet Office then generated letters and appointment. A note in from G. This whole Manx care thing is going to rumble on, won't they? How will they measure, by the way, whether Manx care is better than the previous system? Whenever any new system call comes in, you always get the feeling that...
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
...that they kind of draw a line there and then move on. And say, well, it's the best since... Andy, there were dogs running free at Peel Castle and the beaches yesterday using areas as a toilet despite a large number of children and adults on Peel Castle and beaches. Why aren't the dogs on the lead in such places? I think dogs now should be off the beaches until October. I'm not anti-dogs, but I have to watch where the children are walking to avoid the dog mess. It spoils the walk. Well, I can't say anything really, because if people let their dogs mess, there's nothing any of us can say to them, because they plainly don't take a ha'porth's worth of notice about whether anybody's bothered. So all I'll say is, have a tremendous Easter weekend. The Man in Line returns on Tuesday. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Now we're off to eat some Easter eggs. Have a good weekend.
W-I-N.